Okay. How many people were here in the last one? A lot. How many newbies? A few. Good. If I mention anything that doesn't sound familiar or doesn't make sense, just feel free to raise your hand, ask me. That way I can explain it. Because again, usually one thing builds on another. And this presentation and the next presentation really help tie things together. So how to build your dental department? Well, the first thing you have to identify is what type of department do you want? There are different types of department, and about a year ago, me and Dr. Bellows and myself decided to grade those different dental departments and figure out stages for them. We figure everything is stage with a star, and we all know about the Ritz-Carlton and their five-star service. And if you've been to a Motel 6, which I have many times, it's definitely not a five-star or four-star or even a three-star service there. So what I did is, with the permission of the practice owners, I called around and I surveyed different practices. And I started out with trying to get prices over the phone for services, then asking about the services. In a few practices, I actually sent friends of mine who I'm part of a management group I started in Broward County, and I sent friends of mine to hospitals to go through the process and give me a grade on what their experience was like. And we came up with five different stars or grades to the different practices in between. So let's start with the one star, or what we ended up calling the economical teeth cleaning. And the way we use is we use cars as explanation. This is the type of place where you take your dog and you drop them off for a teeth cleaning. You just drop them off. Usually they don't get exams by anyone. You kind of just take them there and just drop them off for a teeth cleaning. What a weird way of just dropping them off. I can never understand that, where that came from. This is where groomers do their standing dentals. You've heard of that term before, standing dental. We get referrals from all over the place, and because we are an AHA dental certified practice, or was one at the time before they stopped doing dental specialty practice, we had to ask all our, get a history on the client, and one of the questions I would ask is, has your doggy ever had any dental procedures before? And they say, oh yeah, it gets teeth cleaning every other week. And I start every other week, yeah, when I take her to the groomer. And I think, standing dental. So there goes your typical standing dental there. Then you have this guy, anesthesia-free dentistry. Anesthesia-free dentistry. How does that work? Does anyone watch The Girls Next Door? My wife watches it. My wife loves that show. And they had their cat had an anesthesia-free dental on the show. And I was sitting there going, I can't believe they're airing this. It's like anti-whatever. I just couldn't figure it out. I wanted to call the show and say, that's horrible. You just marketed this anesthesia-free dentistry, which is horrible. It doesn't work. Anyone here from California? It's really big out west. Really, really big. From time to time, we have, when we do our wet labs, we have participants that come from California all the way to Florida. And they say, you know, we're having the toughest time trying to compete with these people. And you can see this is Chuck, good old Chuck here, with his veterinary dental service. And he has his card there, and his card doesn't even have an address because he'll come to your house. He doesn't, you just call him up, he comes over, and it's just real, it's poor dentistry. I'm having even a hard time calling it dentistry because It's really not. And this is just something off the brochure there. But they claim that they clean the teeth, they clean underneath the gum lines, they improve the health of the pet, and they claim to do all these different things, which they actually don't. They just have a really good... clients are so scared of anesthesia that they just fall for this stuff. And it's our jobs to help educate them so they understand the difference. A good way of doing that, and this is just good old Chuck here doing his job. He does a scaler, he uses a polisher, he claims to probe and chart the mouth, and no sedation, no anesthesia. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The AVDC statement, position statement, about anesthesia-free dentistry. And please go to their website and print it out. It's a nice little article they have there. And it's great to give to clients who bring anesthesia-free dentistry up, because it gives all the reasons why that's not good medicine and why you cannot perform that or practice that way. They state that you have to use anesthesia intubated with a cuff to prevent stuff from getting into the lungs, to go through the process to keep them totally under general anesthesia, so the patient, there's no movement with the patient. These are things on the article that comes from the dental college that they say you have to do. And anytime that comes up in our practice, we just print that out, and they understand. They also state that you have to evaluate subgingivally, probe and chart for pockets, which again, one-star practice doesn't do. And I'm sure there's not even a one-star practice in here. I'm sure anyone in this room is three or above. But it's my duty to share with you the information I found out. The position statement also says there has to be a complete oral evaluation. At one-star practices, they sometimes use heavy sedation. And I actually saw a teeth cleaning. I ran out of the building going, ah! But I saw a practice that just gave them something IV, I think maybe volume and ketamine, or I can't remember. It was a long time ago. And just scaled the teeth in 5 minutes. And then just let the animal wake up. Never intubated, never did any of that. And I just, they wanted me to go in there on a dental consultation, which would have been a great challenge, because I had to first convince them that they have to intubate and all that stuff. And so, one-star practice scales the teeth. They just remove cochlea. That's their goal. They don't do any evaluation. They don't do anything else. They just want to get the cochlea off the teeth so they look better. And when the pet goes home, the client can see the difference. This is something, a coupon here I got off the internet and changed a few things around. But this is what a one-star practice, the type of thing they would do. They market themselves around the finances. We're the cheapest in town. We did a wet lab 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't believe this. I had a whole practice there. They sent 7 people from their practice, 2 receptionists, the rest technicians, 2 receptionists, technicians, and 1 doctor from 1 practice. And their whole deal was that they charge $79 for a teeth cleaning from start to finish. And for dental month, it goes down to $52. Start to finish. Our exam visit is more than $52, more than $70-whatever. I couldn't believe. The coupon like this might as well show that and have warning signs, because that's what type of medicine a one-star practice is practicing. AHA Dental Guidelines, they came out probably close to 2 years now, year and a half, stated that you must do a pre-anesthetic exam. Absolute must. This starts in the exam room and continues with blood work and different things like that. You must monitor under anesthesia. you have to do dental x-rays. And again, these are guidelines they put out, but eventually it's gonna be written in stone. Does anyone want to guess? Well, let me just take a survey here. How many people here have a dental x-ray machine in their practice? See, I knew this was a 3-star or above crowd. Does anyone want to guess what percentage of dental practices in this country have dental x-ray machines? 3%? Less than 10%. And that information I got from the guy who probably sells more units than anyone, from AFP, Jim Merritt, who actually has data showing, you know, all the practices and who had machines and who didn't. So he said somewhere just under 10% have dental x-ray machines. Doesn't mean they use it. I've been to many practices where a dental x-ray machine is a coat rack. So another part of the guideline is scaling and polishing. You have to scale and you have to polish. You must use fluoride and a sealant. We are really big on Orvet. And then there has to be some sort of home care or dental follow-up. Now we get into our 2-star practice. And again, we're going to evaluate and explain what each star is, and then at the end, talk about how to accomplish whatever goal you want to set. 2-star practice does intubate and use general anesthesia, but they still do very little monitoring, if any at all. They do scale with an ultrasonic scaler, but they don't do dental evaluation. Nor do they polish or treat the teeth or treat issues. So the big difference between a 1-star and a 2-star is the 2-star does intubate and use general anesthesia. The 2-star still uses a weight-based fishy. It's kind of like heart guard, I guess, where there are different weights for different sizes. Well, the 1 and 2-star, well, the 1-star just uses the lowest fee possible. The 2-star breaks it down to, if your dog's under 30 pounds, it's this fee. If it's 30 to 60, it's this fee. And if it's 60 and above, it's another fee. Then your 3-star. This is your average teeth cleaning without oral x-rays. And beforehand, there is dental and a general exam before the patient is submitted. So in these type of practices, they generally don't do drop-offs. And I'm a stickler when it comes to drop-offs. Anytime I get a complaint or anytime we do something wrong, it always is associated with a drop-off. And I just don't understand what it's like a mojo the drop-off has. And if the drop-off was a person, he'd be on my bad side because whenever we do have issues, it's always associated with a drop-off. To the point where we just don't do drop-offs. Or in our practice, everything is a democracy. And I'm still trying to get it passed through Congress. Congress meaning the staff. I usually never pull out the trump card on things, and I usually try to be as fair as possible. So we're trying to do away with drop-offs, and I just don't like it. I think that even if the patient was there 3 days ago, something could happen within those 3 days where if anything, a technician needs to just take a peek at it before you admit a patient into the hospital. Pre-anesthetic testing is, and you saw my optional thing disappear there, because in a 3-star practice, it's optional. They give out a form And there was a practice I did some consulting at where everything was optional. It was great. They had a form for everything. A form for everything. Pre-anesthetic testing, heartworm test, anything you could think of a form. So what I did, this is one of my brilliant, it's probably one of the best jobs I did, consulting because the practice was in the shape it was. First week I got rid of all the consent forms and all the decline forms. Gross went up 10% because the clients couldn't decline things. In our practice, clients cannot decline part of treatment. They want to decline the whole thing. For whatever reason, they have the freedom, this is America, to go elsewhere, but they can't decline the part of treatment. And some of you are probably thinking, boy, you're kind of weird. What if they can't afford it? I'll ask the questions then. How about I do the lecture and ask the questions? What if they can't afford it, Paul? Well, if they can't afford it, we give them our famous line. We normally don't let finances get in the way of treatment. We'll help you afford it. If you're going to help me afford it? But I really can't afford it. Oh, no, no, no. The finances are the good news. There's 101 ways we'll help you afford it. Tell you what, let's fill out Care Credit. And Care Credit is wonderful because they'll pay for the whole thing today and put you on payment plans to pay them back. And before Care Credit, we used to do an in-house payment system, which from time to time we still do if the client absolutely needs it, where they pay half down, which covers our cost, and a little tiny bit of profit, and then the other half they could split it up throughout 6 months. And I'll be more than happy that it's a little contract they sign, and it was reviewed by Laura, and I'll be more than happy to share that with anyone who wants to email me. So, the reason we don't let them decline treatment is because a client never went to vet school. They have no idea behind the medicine, and they're in no position to decline treatment that the doctor recommends, nor did they go to tech school. This is actually Dr. Bellow's dog. That even Dr. Bellows does pre-anesthetic testing on his own dog, and it actually was his wife's dog, Casey, a Pom. For those of you who know who that is, it's the most unfriendly dog I've ever met. Personality of a rock. He hated everyone, except for Allison, Dr. Bellows' wife. Even hated Dr. Bellows. It was, but Casey got whatever Casey wanted. Fat as can be, overweight dog. Dr. Bellows, he's not here, is he? He said he was coming to this or the next one. So, but fat, overweight dog, and so he came in for a teeth cleaning. Doc said do a CBC and a chem panel on him. I said, okay, so we did it. So this was the CBC. A couple of things out of normal, not too bad. This was his chem panel. Well, poor Casey, and this is a normal dog. Very happy-go-lucky, eats well, overweight, but normal dog. His BUN was 76, phosphorus 13.2, and creatine 5.4. For those of you who know what all that means, to me it meant not much because I was never went to vet school or anything like that, but the dog had very short time to live, and he actually was gone within a month. And Dr. Bellows told his wife, you know, there's nothing we could do, and in a month he's going to be gone, and in a month he was gone. But if Dr. Bellows would have put Casey under anesthesia, and God forbid something would have happened, which probably wouldn't have, he would have been okay and recovered, and then died a month later, you could just imagine. You probably can't because you don't know Allison, but trust me, she would have raised all hell when that dog died, and she would have blamed it on the teeth cleaning. And by letting clients decline pre-anesthetic testing or any important services like that, that's what you're opening the door, the floodgates to issues in the future. All right, so three-star practice does polishing, irrigating, they do fluoride. And for those of you who are asking about cameras, these are all done with a Kodak camera I was telling whoever about. It's a fabulous camera. So they dry the teeth, they put the fluoride on, they let it sit there. And does anyone know what fluoride does? Yes. Yes and no. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Probably yes and no. At one point, when they first started using fluoride in animals, that's what the premise was. And over the last few years, a lot of the boarded guys have just been talking about, well, why do we really use fluoride? And the reason is because the breath smells so bad and the fluoride smells so good. If you think about it, most clients that accept dental treatment, they do it because the breath stinks. Fluoride smells like bubblegum. You use fluoride, the mouth goes home smelling like bubblegum. Makes a world of difference. Yeah, there's some science behind it where it strengthens the enamel and things like that, but in an older dog, the enamel's so thick it's really not going to do anything worthwhile, except make the breath smell very good. So that's the reason we use the fluoride in our practice. And then in a three-star practice, Orvet is, again, recommended. And the reason I have the word recommended disappear is because that's one of the words, for those of you who are here in the wowing, that's one of the words you're not allowed to use in my practice, is the word recommended. You just can't. It is what it is. And we don't recommend anything. We're going to do. For those of you who saw the vignette, you say, okay, we're going to have to bar your doggy today till about 5 o'clock. Is that okay? Dr. Bellows didn't start off with, oh, we recommend a teeth cleaning or we recommend extracting these teeth. The word recommend was never in his vocabulary. It was always, we're going to. This is what we have to do. That's a great question. And in a lot of practices, it won't work that way. And whenever I bring up doing procedures the same day, I get a blank look. But what we do is I schedule 2 teeth cleanings or oral ATPs a day that aren't on the schedule. And assuming that between Dr. Bellows and the other part-timer we have, we're going to be able to create those with the morning appointments. So then I strategically schedule the morning appointments where annuals and semis are the first ones in the door. They are the ones that normally, so at 9:20 through 10, which is 1, 2, 3, 9, about 12 appointments, you can set up annuals and semis, and those, out of those 12, usually we get 2 or 3 teeth cleanings. Fast? Oh, we tell, on our reminder cards, we have them fast. For anything. For annuals, for semis, for whatever. Oh, and even better than that, we give them hydromorphine or morphine pre-anesthetic so they throw up. It's kind of like, oh, let's get everything out. And in, as soon as they throw up is when the techs know they could proceed with whatever they're doing. I missed the second part. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What we do is say, let's turn it into a spay.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, you want to do a, oh, great. We'll do both today. So you won't have to pick up till tomorrow. Any other questions? All right, so Orvet is applied. Does everyone here, who uses Orvet? Oh, good. Is it easy? I just found out a cool little trick. If you drop the little cartridge thing in warm water for a couple of minutes, and then you do it, it comes out so much softer and smoother, and it sticks so much easier, for what it's worth. Okay, and unfortunately, the 3-star falls short because they don't do dental x-rays. So, but again, their fee structure is weight-based plus extractions. So if there are any extractions, it's usually whatever it is for extractions. Then we get to our four-star practice. Our four-star practice, and I'm guessing most everyone here is 3, 4, 5, or wanting to become 5. Our four-star practice should introduce oral assessment, treatment, and prevention. Dun, dun, dun. I've been waiting a long time, about an hour and a half, to bring oral ATP up. The oral ATP. The oral ATP is a phenomenal concept. It breaks down into three parts. It breaks down the visit into three separate parts. And when you explain it to the client in the oral ATP fashion, it helps the client understand the process a lot better and expect what typically is the unexpected. And I'll explain what that means. So, take all these out of your vocabulary. If I know today or in this weekend you're going to probably a dozen lectures and you're learning so much great information, and if you're anything like me, you probably only apply 10% of it when you get back to the practice. Well, let's make this in your 10% because it's so easy to do. Just remove the word prophy, dental, teeth cleaning, dental exam, complete dental prophylaxis out of your vocabulary at work. Just remove it. Replace it with oral ATP. Oral ATP. Oral assessment, treatment, and prevention. Has anyone ever heard of oral ATP before? Oh, you did. Ha! Great. Is it from the Greenies thing? Yeah. That's great. I did another lecture about a month ago, and there was one person in the crowd that heard of oral ATP before, and it just makes such a big difference. All right. Again, we're in the four-star practice. AHA dental guidelines for pre-ops. Pre-op blood testing is not optional. If you want to be a four-star practice, get rid of your consent forms. They should consent to the procedure form or estimate. Estimate is another word we're not allowed to use at our practice. So procedure form, they should consent to that, but they shouldn't have the option of declining the pre-op blood testing. If they want to decline it, then they just decline the whole thing, and for whatever reason, they just don't believe in them. Usually, the way we view it is anytime a client declines something, it's because there was lack of information relayed to them. And it's actually our fault. Because we have every precaution, every measure to help clients afford it, to explain pathology and procedures, handouts, pictures, books. If they're declining, it's because we dropped the ball somewhere. In the AHA dental guidelines, they recommend an electrocardiogram and IV catheters with fluids on every patient, not just the geriatric ones. For many years, we did the geriatric patients, was mandatory, and we didn't do spays and neuters, or we didn't do anything else like younger dogs. But it was kind of optional. If the doctor felt like he should do it, he would do it. But now it's on every case that goes under anesthesia, gets IV catheter and fluids. There's a tooth-by-tooth exam conducted. The way we explain it to clients, it's great. Say, today in the oral ATP, part of the assessment is a tooth-by-tooth exam. Your doggy has, or should have, 42 teeth in the mouth. So to us, it's like 42 little patients, and we check each one, and we probe it, and we wiggle it, and we take an x-ray of it, and we take a picture of it, and we treat each individual tooth like it's a patient. And at the end of today, you'll get a report stating what the status of Fluffy's teeth are like. And it's important to tell them there's 42 patients in the mouth for a dog and 30 patients in a mouth for a cat. If there's a missing tooth, it should get oral x-rays. And if you, for those of you who I see that attended the radiology lab I did yesterday, when there's missing teeth, there could be pathology underneath there. Clinically, it could look totally normal, but there is bone loss and there are other issues hidden there. The fee structure at a four-star practice is broken down into two separate parts. The first part is an estimate or procedure form for the pre-ops, the anesthesia, the teeth cleaning, and the evaluation. This is something that you can't give that over the phone. That's a typo. Me and Dr. Bellows share PowerPoint slides from time to time. And you absolutely cannot give any estimates over the phone. This is totally on a sidetrack, but let me explain this because this makes a big difference in compliance in your practice. Never quote a dental procedure over the phone. Do not quote a teeth cleaning. Do not quote an extraction. Do not quote anything. The answer should be, we just don't know what's involved. There's so, the way we do things is we do oral ATPs. So we assess the situation by probing and charting, by taking full mouth x-rays, by figuring out what's going on. Once we have that, we're able to give you an exact quote for the treatment involved. Any questions? No, the receptionist will explain the OR-ATP process on the phone. We don't do teeth. How much is the teeth cleaning? Oh, sorry, we don't do teeth cleanings here. You don't do teeth cleanings? Yeah, what we do are OR-ATPs. And that's your segue into explaining it to the client what an OR-ATP is. Any other questions? No, that's the perfect thing. Once we get them in the office, if you were here for the last session, in the exam room, once the doctor gets the compliance, he'll take the patient to the back and send the client up front at checkout to receive an estimate for the pre-ops, anesthesia, and cleaning. And I'll ask the obvious question, well, if you're not going to quote fees, what are you going to do? You tell them, Mrs. Johnson, we don't want to hide anything from you. It's not like we're trying to do a bait and switch, so I'll be more than happy to fax you over a fee sheet that has all our fees on it as far as what anesthesia costs, what the cleanings cost, the different levels of the cleanings, what the different extractions cost, what everything costs, but for your particular case and for Fluffy situation, we just don't know over the phone. But we'd be more than happy to give you an estimate as far as the pre-ops, the anesthesia, and the cleaning once the doctor evaluates the situation in the room and could figure out a correct procedure form. Yes. Yeah, there's... No, technically... Techs, at least in the state of Florida, cannot diagnose anything. So, techs don't do exams. The doctors always do every exam, every pup visit. My office manager is contemplating having her do some of the pup visits. And I don't think it's going to fly through Congress because it's going to get vetoed by the president, Dr. Bellows. So, yeah, it's... It's something that we just don't do. I'm recommending to do whatever works for you. And if it's worked for you in the past and you don't see issues with it and you haven't run into any issues, then I wouldn't recommend changing that specific thing. Oh yeah, that's what we do, but it's done in our practice by the doctor. The doctor's voice carries so much more weight than a technician. It's just amazing. And in our practice, the techs do most of the other work. Once it's in the back, the pre-ops, the blood, the catheter, the sedating, the cleaning, full mouth x-rays, probing and charting, evaluating, coming up with a treatment plan, skipping ahead to the next lecture, but coming up with a treatment plan, everything. And then the doctor comes in at the end and double checks everything, literally spends 3 minutes on the patient, make sure that all the pathology was found, there's the correct treatment plan in place, then calls the client, gets it approved, then the doctor comes back and performs the procedure as far as if any extractions, root canals, or whatever needs to be done. So the whole key of why I stopped is fee sheets. Have a dental fee sheet with all your different fees on it and fax it or email it to clients. When you do that, they think to themselves, wow, it's great. They're not trying to hide anything. They're very open. They let me see all their fees. And I could understand that they don't know what's going on. So let me just go in there and so they could give me a definite fee as far as so we could find out what's going on. Someone had their hand up though? That used to be a problem in our practice. It would happen probably about once a month, and that same situation will happen. So what we do now, and it's tricky, but it works, is we calculate and tell the client to call us back at a certain time. Say, all right, give us a call back around 1 o'clock, we'll have answers for you. So then we work backwards. We know it takes us at our practice for the cleaning, the probing and charting, full mouth x-rays, evaluation, treatment plan, takes us an hour and a half. So if they're calling at 1, the patient has to be down by 11:30 to meet that requirement. Good, yeah. Our procedure form has the same wording in it, but we still never do it without their consent, because it's just, again, you open the floodgates for legal issues that we just don't want to deal with. Yeah, it is great. A lot of practices do that, pagers, and they also just get the prepaid cell phones. You can buy one for $30, $35, put some minutes on it, and use it when you need it. So that's another thing that practices do. The second part of the fee is the discussion once the patient is under anesthesia and you actually know that there's pathology and have a treatment plan. So that's the second part of it. 4-star practice. Does dental charting and notes abnormalities. The dental chart is a roadmap to what you're going to do. In the future visits and follow-up care, you're going to be able to go back and refer to and see how the patient came in and what you ended up doing as far as treatment. Intraoral x-rays are done. But they're only performed on areas of pathology. Again, a 4-star practice does dental x-rays, but not on every case, just when they think they need it. And these are some examples of cases that would get oral x-rays. Now you see here a missing tooth, and you can see the tooth impacted, turned sideways with a big cyst eating through the jaw. Little gum recession there. Gum recession there. Impacted canines, missing canines. And a 4-star practice does Orvet on every case. It's not optional. It's something they just do. A 4-star practice meets the minimum requirements for the AHA dental guidelines. I'm getting cheesier by the day. A 5-star practice is the ultimate quality dental care. Everything that's involved in a 5-star practice starts with a pre-op exam, where in the exam room, at one point or another, we wow the client. We show them pictures of the pathology. We explain the dental process and procedures, the way the day is going to go. And that's when we explain to them about the callback or that'd be a good time to, I guess the checkout would be a good time to give him a pager. A dental technician is assigned to the case. This is the key contact person that the client knows that if they have any questions, they could call back and speak to, in this case, our head technician, Stephanie. It's important for the client to have that person because the doctor is usually preoccupied either with an exam room or in a procedure, in surgery, so it's important that the client knows who to ask for. And we just give Stephanie's card out and say, here, give her a call back at 1 o'clock. And she's the facilitator between the doctors. And a lot of times she just explains what the additionals are and what needs to be done. And because she's trained to do that, we feel comfortable with, and she gets compliance often. And then before the client leaves, a procedure form is formulated that has everything up to the point of finding out what's going on. Pain is a major issue, and that's why we do morphine or whatever else they're using for pre-ops nowadays. We do local blocks under anesthesia, and we also do post-pain control medication. Anesthesia monitoring is a big thing in a five-star practice. A five-star practice has to be monitored by at least three different things. Heart rate, pulse oximeter, blood pressure, temperature. Help me out here. Excuse me? ECG. A five-star practice will be hooked up to a computer or some sort of monitor that's going to check all these, at least three different things while it's under anesthesia. Local anesthetic is used for every extraction. This is one of our patients here that is hooked up to a, what is this, the VetGuard wireless monitoring system. And we hook it up to the patients, and you can see up there on the screen where it just translates the information. And the information could actually be set up in any computer throughout the office network. So it could be at the doctor's desk while he's in his office and the patient's in the treatment area having the procedure done. That's what the screen looks like. An ECG interpretation software. We have something that we're able to do diagnostic EKGs for clients and print them out. This is our Vetronix analyzer. This is another VetSpex machine. We have four different stations, and each station has a different machine or monitoring system on it. We have a bear hugger hooked up to every patient so we can monitor their temperature and control it. Apnea monitors, blood pressure. Sterility is a big, big deal in a five-star practice. What we do is we sterilize packets, an extraction pack, with everything you need for an extraction. That way you don't have to open up multiple packs. And more importantly, you're not looking for things. It's all in one place. You just open it up and it's there. We sterilize our burrs, and everything's kept in one location so you could look at it. Then there's usually three people working on the case. The doctor's doing the procedure, then we have a technician monitoring, and then we have a technician assisting the doctor in the procedure. Dental x-rays or dental survey, full mouth survey, is performed on every case, every single case in a five-star practice. Orvet is sent home with the client, is put on while under anesthesia, and sent home with the client. And a five-star practice has to have the equipment to perform procedures, or at least the willingness to refer procedures. For instance, if you're not doing root canals yet, and eventually your DVM is going to get into root canals. Until he's up to speed in performing them, he should feel confident, refer them to a specialist who's doing them. It's providing the best care for our patients. In a five-star practice, dental images are shown to explain pathology and to help clients make decisions on additional treatment. In a five-star practice, technicians are with the patient until they fully recover and are walking around. This is our little incubator here. And in a five-star practice, we recheck them a week later to show them how to use Orvet at home and daily brushing. And then we set up monthly rechecks with the ones that have serious issues, sometimes every 3 months, sometimes twice a year. We set up free rechecks. They're free rechecks. Just get them back in the practice. We take a look. And this is something that a lot of practices use their technicians to do this. It takes a look. If everything looks good, oh, great, you're doing a wonderful job. See you in a month. Or see you in 3 months. Or see you in 6 months. All right, so how to create your five-star dental practice. Find an eagle. What I mean by find an eagle is that there's someone at the practice, and it might be a lot of you in here because you are technicians, but if it's not you, I met a technician yesterday that wore many hats at our practice. She wasn't just the tech, she was the head tech, she was the trainer, she was the office manager, she was the bookkeeper. She did a lot of different things, so she wouldn't be the candidate for this, but if you are the eagle, or if you're not the eagle, you have to find the eagle and someone who's going to facilitate all this. The eagle must believe in the five-star practice and believe that it could get it done. They should understand dentistry. They should be empowered to purchase equipment and hire and fire employees. And this is probably one of the biggest, they should believe, and the whole staff really needs to believe that the fees are cost related. Pick a date. Today is what, the 19th? 18th? Whatever it is. Pick a date 6 months from now or 8 months from now. Say, this is the day where we will totally be done changing everything we do in dentistry, and we will adopt the Ora ATP. We will be doing Ora x-rays on every case. We're going to be doing root canals by this time because our DVM is going to go and learn how to do it. And this is the day, and then just work backwards. Find out what equipment you need, get the equipment, and go through the process. The five-star dental practice exceeds the AHA guidelines. And easy way to remember how to get this done is just think, in the beginning there was Adam and Eve. Well, your Eve is equipment, vision, and education. The equipment are the scalers, the x-ray machines, all that good stuff. The vision, and you guys get to see my dog here, is the Ora ATP. That is your vision. That's what you want to adopt in your practice as soon as you get back to it. The assessment is gathering the information. The treatment is performing the cleanings and any need-be extractions. And then the prevention is how you get the client involved in the follow-up care. And I say, I'm a strong believer that the prevention is the most important thing in the whole process. Because if they get the teeth clean and they do nothing for a year, then it's going to be horrible the next year. Imagine if you went to your dentist, got your teeth clean, didn't brush your teeth for a whole year, went back a year later. Your dentist would probably slap you in the face and say, what did you do? And you probably have a lot of dental work involved. Then the education. There's the Minnesota or Minneapolis or whatever conference coming up, the dental conference. There's a website for ACT. It's the animal care training that has a really good dental section. There's the AFP.com, always has upcoming wet labs that you could go, dental wet labs, and you could see if there's any in your area. And those are actually hands-on, a full day. Some are multiple days. And then there's Verbeck University that has a great section on dental education that you can have your staff members go through and learn about dentistry. Oh, and then VIN and VSPN, phenomenal dental courses there. So remember, decide what type of dental department you want, find your eagle, and then use Eve to develop your dental department. Enjoy.